The next case is 97, 2667 Cleveland Bar Association versus Roosevelt Cox.
This is all six.
Arguments. But here we certainly have a case of far greater severity. This matter was formally initiated upon approval of the probable cause panel and the filing of a formal complaint July 1, 1996. Mr. Cox initially was represented by attorney William Doyle, who after three extensions of time filed an answer to the complaint. An amended complaint was filed in December of 1996. An answer to that was finally filed the following March. In March of 1997, the relator filed a motion to compel a response to a production of documents request. That motion was granted. He was ordered to respond by April 15, 1997. No response was ever made. Notice to take the deposition of Mr. Cox was filed. The deposition was set for May 1, 1997. Mr. Cox failed to appear. Mr. Doyle withdrew from representation on approval of the board. Finally, this matter came to hearing July 10. Mr. Cox appeared pro se. He complained that he did not have an attorney, but he did participate in the proceedings as evident by the record. Presentation of that day of 21 witnesses and over 60 exhibits, the defendant requested time to get counsel. He was told at that hearing he was to have counsel by August 8th, and at that time there would be a conference call and a second day of hearing would be scheduled.
Mr. Lustig, we've read it. We know somewhat the facts, but I'm interested in the... I'm sorry to go all the way to the sanction right away, but I am interested in light of the prior discipline of this gentleman that suggested that if the next thing that comes up is serious, that the court that heard this before said that they would recommend permanent disbarment if the conduct, depending on the seriousness of the conduct. Would you characterize the conduct that we are to look at today as serious? Serious enough to warrant this permanent disbarment?
Absolutely.
Yet it's not recommended?
What the board found, even ignoring our objections to the fact that they didn't find him guilty on counts 6 and 13, which we have to think are very serious counts, and should have been found guilty of violations on those two counts. He has been found guilty of stealing from clients, of lying to clients, of forging a document presented to the court, of failure to return funds to his clients, of ignoring and neglecting matters, of failing to turn files back to his clients, of charging and taking excessive fees.
Failing to pay judgments against him in favor of clients.
That's count 13 and count 6. Where
those are the ones they weren't.
Judgments rendered against him. In count 13, which we would urge the court to find he is guilty of a breach of fiduciary duty, he received, as an escrow agent representing himself, $11,500 under escrow instruction that he was not to turn that money over to the seller until certain conditions were met, which was the transfer of liquor license. The license never transferred. When the buyers went to get their money back, he'd already given it to the seller. The seller was not to be found to return it. He couldn't return it. The buyers were out for $11,500 deposit. Both the trial court and the court of appeals found Mr. Cox guilty of fraud in those cases.
I, I think Justice Cook was asking you about the recommendation and the justification for the recommendation of indefinite suspension. I think that's, we'd like to have an answer for that.
Justice Sweeney, I am absolutely convinced of the severity of the things of which the board admittedly found him responsible would justify permanent disbarment. Add to that his complete and total failure to respond to production of documents requests, to show up for a deposition, and then when the second day of hearing was scheduled before the hearing panel, he never even appeared. Never made a phone call, nothing. That's the last we heard of him. The case seemed to me to be clear that this court has ruled upon his failure to cooperate in the proceedings itself. Would be justification to disbar this man.
Your position must be that his conduct is of such a nature that an indefinite suspension is not going to serve probably him or the bar of the public any good, because he's not someone who we would expect to be rehabilitated during a 2-year period sitting out. Is that essentially your?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I cannot account for the board's determination other than an implication that there were some mitigating circumstances. Mr. Cox claimed sleep apnea. That was also the defense raised in the Milton case.
It's a new condition we've seen lately.
Well, it's all
maybe it's just been found, I don't know, but we've just seen it in the last year, I guess.
In the Milton case, Mr. Milton was also represented by Mr. Doyle.
Really?
However, there's no evidence. Oh. And the point of my reciting when this proceeding was initiated and how long it's gone on is the fact that we have no evidence submitted to the board at any time that this is a true condition. He had plenty of chance to come forward and offer medical evidence. He claimed that he was going to the hospital. He claimed he was being treated by a physician. We have nothing in the records to indicate that this is medical. We are here simply to say to this court that this is a case. We have 15 different counts, 15 different complainants, not 15 different violations, but 15 people came forward. I'm sorry, 14. The 15 count is failing to register. 14 separate complainants came forward. I shudder to think how many other people this man has dealt with and did not make formal complaints that we chose to prove. And this man should not be permitted to practice law ever again in the state of Ohio.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. The respondent has failed to respond, and so therefore waived oral argument. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.